Although you've heard and read a lot about Bain and Company over the last 4 years, some of it is true and much of it is not. So says the new managing partner for Bain South Africa, Stephen York. In the last week, he took out a page 3, full-page advert in the Business Day appealing for constructive dialogue with South Africans, saying the firm has made serious mistakes in the procurement and execution of its work at SARS. He says it's ashamed of the role it played in destabilizing the South African Revenue Service under Tom Moyane during the state capture years. It comes hot on the heels of the consultancy being frozen out of UK public service contracts for the next 3 years, and after our most senior Treasury official called for local companies to stop doing business with the firm. But is it just words? I'm pleased to tell you Stephen York is with us now. Thank you so much for your time and welcome to 702 Breakfast.
Thanks, Bongani. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about your apology as you made it last week. The Nugent Commission said that the role you played in the decimation of SARS was a premeditated offensive against the tax agency. This wasn't the work merely of junior staffers, as you seem to allude to, but was at the very least approved at the highest levels.
To clarify what I meant in terms of the junior staffers, that was really in respect of the individuals that are still at Bain, who were junior members at the time. There are no senior members who worked on SARS who are still at Bain in South Africa. You're right, the Nugent Commission did say that it was a premeditated offensive. And the other part of that quote, which is important to remember, is that the Nugent Commission went on to clarify that Bain and Moyane acted each in pursuit of their own interests that were symbiotic, but not altogether the same. Mr. Moyane's interest was to take control of SARS. Bain's interest was to make money. And so while we recognize that we made mistakes at SARS, there was no intent to do any damage or to harm the institution or undermine the institution.
But you'll concede that the Zonda Commission said that all the work done with SARS was unlawful. In fact, it recommended that all the public sector contracts in South Africa be re-examined with a view to prosecution.
Yeah, that's right. Zonda did recommend that the work that we did for SARS was unlawful, although he was very vague in terms of exactly what he meant that we had been unlawful about. And he did recommend that all our state contracts be investigated. The one thing I wanted to point out, though, is that neither the Nugent nor the Zondo Commission actually came back with any recommendation that Bain actually be prosecuted. He said that we should be investigated with the view to being prosecuted, but not actually prosecuted, which is very different to what he said in the instance of a number of other individuals.
Part of the reason for those further investigations was that at both those commissions, you had the opportunity to come forward and tell us everything you knew, but did not.
Yeah, in retrospect, Bongani, we should have engaged more fully with the Nugent Commission. It was only during the testimony of Bain's former South African management partner that Bain realized that he had been untruthful to us and to the Commission, and that we actually became aware of some of the details. His lawyers actually informed us at the same time that the Nugent Commission was informed that he had taken ill and left the country. This is contrary to the belief that we knew beforehand. And there simply wasn't anyone who knew the details. He was the only person involved in any of the meetings with then former President Zuma.
He's still
if I may just finish, so we were really just on the back foot in respect of the Nugent Commission. On the Zonda Commission, I actually disagree with your statement that we declined to cooperate. In fact, we fully cooperated. We answered questions, we offered documentary evidence, and we provided requested affidavits. We even offered a meeting with our legal representatives to support the Commission's work, and that meeting never took place. The Zonda Commission also did not ask us to testify or to provide evidence. Had they done so, we would certainly have cooperated.
I'll come back to the Zonda Commission in a moment, but let's go back to this idea that Masoni would have been acting alone without, I presume, the knowledge of London or Boston. He still prides himself, of course, as having helped Bain achieve market leadership in South Africa. And you mentioned his relationship with the former president, Jacob Zuma, and, of course, then that plan for how Tom Moyane was going to lead SARS. It's a little difficult to believe that the point man for Bain in South Africa would have been doing all of this in the dark without his bosses overseas knowing.
There were some partners who knew that that Mr. Masoni was meeting with the president, although we did not have at the time a clear view of exactly how often or exactly what was discussed. We've since tried to piece a lot of that together. And I've managed to get a view, but you know, as I mentioned, he was the only person in any of those meetings, and so it's just very difficult for us to say for exactly what was discussed, or in fact what was done.
Let me assist you. As I said, this idea of achieving market leadership in South Africa, you don't think he would have been in consultations with his bosses to say this is precisely how we're going to do it? Because he also goes into how SARS was a key entry point to achieve that goal.
Yeah, and it's not a secret that the former managing partner at the time had ambitions to grow our state sector work, and he saw this incorrectly as the way of doing that. Now we've since made a number of changes to our own internal policies, which means that this can never happen again. For example, we require at least two Bain attendees and contemporaneous notes at similar meetings going forward. So we've tried to make sure that this situation can never happen again, where we don't have a full view of exactly what is discussed with any public official.
I'll move on. I still think it's a little bit of a stretch for us to believe that the managing partner would have been acting alone without approval from elsewhere. But let's move on. Let's come back to some of the testimony you could have given in terms of the full disclosures. When Athol Williams, for example, tried to tell us what was happening, you applied to cross-examine him, to muzzle him, essentially, and you've kept up the smear campaign against him.
We have not kept up any smear campaign against him, and in fact have not said anything about that individual. In fact, I'm not even sure why we're talking about him. He's an individual who didn't work at Bain during the time of our work at SARS. He has no more firsthand knowledge of what transpired than I do or anyone at Bain does. And since the only person in the room, as I mentioned, was the former local managing partner. By his own admission, his evidence to the Zondo Commission was based on speculation. In his testimony, he continuously uses phrases like, it is my assumption that, or it is my belief that. And all the documents he has shared are documents that we recovered during our own independent investigation and that we provided to him.
If you are so sorry as you claim, why have you not reached out to Edward Kiswetter and SARS?
Here's the irony. In fact, we did reach out to Edward Kiswetter and SARS on two separate occasions to discuss our work. We reached out in both October 2019 and in December 2019, and we did not receive a response to either of those. Since his message on Twitter, we have since reached out again, and this time I can confirm that he has acknowledged receipt and his office has promised to revert in due course. We've also actively reached out to all the other relevant authorities, including the Hawks, the NPA, and others to offer our cooperation with no response.
You've issued your apology, and part of what you've said is that you've paid back the fees, but is that enough? Should reparation not be proportional to the damage and the harm that was done?
Bongani, Bain undertook the work at SARS in good faith. As consultants, we provide advice, but we don't make decisions. We don't make management decisions. We don't make personnel decisions. SARS leadership did not follow our advice, and instead they chose a different path that, frankly, in retrospect, was clearly designed to centralize control. As you mentioned, in 2018, we repaid the fees plus interest for all our work at SARS, and we were certainly naive about the role that we're of others' plans at SARS. But questions about reparations and payback should be directed to those who profited directly from the decisions they took to weaken the institution.
With respect, Stephen, what about the revenue we failed to collect because of your actions? What about the criminal networks that grew because many of the investigations were stopped?
Again, Bongani, I come back to the fact that as consultants, we only provide advice, and the decisions that were taken at SARS were not ours. They were the management teams at the time. And so therefore, you know, as I said, the discussions around reparations and payback should be directed to those that profited directly from the work, from what happened as a result of the weakening of SARS. The only benefit that we got were the fees, and we paid back those fees plus interest in 2018 before the completion of the Nugent Commission.
Once again, I must disagree with you. I think it's not enough to say we merely gave advice and we step away from any responsibility about what was implemented. As you have conceded in this interview, there was that carefully orchestrated plan long before Tom Moyane was even at SARS, and throughout that process to even appoint him, as soon as he was, he applied to basically have you come on to be able to evaluate his at least the operations at SARS. He acted in concert. You were part of this dance, and to you now disavow the decisions that were made and say it was merely advice, it's disingenuous.
Not really, because again, the Baker McKenzie report, which the independent investigation that Baker McKenzie conducted on our behalf, reviewed over 250,000 documents. They interviewed over 80 different people. At no point as a result of that investigation did they find that Bain or anyone at Bain had any intention to undermine or harm SARS. That was never the intent. We made a lot of mistakes in respect of SARS. We've done a lot to try and remedy those mistakes. And I suggest if people want to get more information, they should go to bain.com/SARS to see all of that documentation.
But there were people identified. There were people identified, professionals who were to be neutralized, and then that in fact did happen. So when you say that there was no ill intent, how do you do that? Because you could argue that was perhaps the most nefarious aspect of your attack on SARS. Those people had their lives, their careers ruined.
So we've tried to explain this a number of times, including at the Nugent Commission, but my colleagues made a terrible choice of phrasing. I can't, if it helps to clarify, we systematically ask our clients to understand how likely they would to recommend working with Bain or being part of an institution, and we score that on a scale of 0 to 10. We talk about those who would score number 7 as 7 or 8 as being neutral, and that's what and those that would score less than 7 as being detractors. When we said neutralize, what we meant was to help individuals who were against the change or who weren't fully bought into the change to be more accepting of the changes in the operating model. It was not to cause harm.
That doesn't account for the gleeful. That doesn't account for the gleeful email exchanges after the fact, when those people were removed, when operatives at Bain were celebrating.
Again, that email is taken completely out of context. That email shares a press release to what had happened, and the actual context is not true.
Stephen, I'll put it to you, one last question. You've lost UK government business. You are likely to lose the same here. That's what this is about, is it not?
No, it's not, Bongani. We are committed to, as I mentioned in my letter, we're committed to South Africa. We want to be a force for good in South Africa. We believe that Bain has a lot of value to add to our people, to our clients who we work for, and to the communities that we operate in. And that's really what this letter is about. We want to have constructive dialogue. We want to have meetings with government, with other key stakeholders like business, civil society, to discuss a way forward. To your point earlier about reparation, we believe that we want to do more for South Africa and believe that we can do more for South Africa. And that's exactly why we're having this conversation at the moment.
Stephen York, Managing Partner at Bain & Company, South Africa.